WNST, Towson, Baltimore. And Baltimore Positive. We're positively out here at the Beaumont. We're at the bar where I like to be. We're in Catonsville. We're at the corner of Eggs and Meller and Frederick. We're just about a mile outside the Beltway. State Fair across the street. This is where they shoot the fireworks and they do New Year's Eve and the fire department here. We're about a half a block from Bill's Music. And we're celebrating today, the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. We have Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Gina Shock of the Fabulous Go-Go's in the House of Shock with us. It's all brought to you by our friends at Window Nation. I'm giving away a Maryland Lottery scratch-offs. I had a $100 winner at Coco's last week, so I was thrilled about that because she stood up and screamed, and we had a great time. We had a great show out there. Hope everybody's enjoying that. And I have waited about 7.5-8 months. You and I haven't spoken a word to each other than you saw me at the Hard Rock. You said, "Hey, hon, how you doing? Oh, I love you. Bye." And you're signing autographs, and you're a rock star, and you're in the Hall of Fame, and all this stuff. And since the last time we talked, you ate my crab cake at Costas.
Yeah, well.
I think you ate two of them.
I'm sorry.
And you left, and then 2 days later, I get a text from Wendell who says to me, "Gina likes that cute drummer that you grew up with, that Johnny Allen boy. What's that all about? She needs a guitar player. Does he play the guitar?" And I'm like, "Well, you need to call Ed Lauer, because Ed Lauer is the guitar guy in Baltimore." And I just threw a text out, kissed into the wind. It was 2 days before Christmas. You were very emotional being home with your family and all of that. And the next thing I know, Ed Lauer texts me, says, "I was over at Gina's house. She's the nicest lady I've ever met. And it's East Side. It's Baltimore." And the next thing I know, you got a band full of my friends, Ed's friends, our friends, his relatives, my childhood friends, all with this Dundalk connection.
It's
and I don't even know the story.
It's a family affair.
So what happened? Give me the whole story.
Oh, well, you know, good people. What can I say? I didn't know this was all going to happen, but Nestor, you know, I guess things just happen the way they're supposed to. I really do believe in destiny. I really do.
I do too.
And so I think that, like, me meeting you and then you talking about
Ed and John
and blah, blah, blah.
I mean, I feel very sad. You made me cry.
No, for real.
I'm serious, man. Like, I can't believe when I was there that night, I was, like, so proud because, like, I brought my Go-Go CD with me. You know what I mean? Like, I just know you from, you know, MTV. You know what I mean? And you're this legend of Dundalk that I had never met. John and I had talked about you 20 times. Every time we get together, I'm like, "You find Gina Shock yet?" "No, I don't know. Joyce, George." You know, like, I
felt very,
like,
protective. I mean, God, I love them.
Well, we told that story last year, Christmas time.
I just got to say one thing, Nestor. I've been back here a lot lately, and it's just, I can't believe how much I'm loving being in Baltimore, and I used to want to run from Baltimore. And now,
oh wow,
it's so beautiful, and I just feel like I'm washed with gratitude for everything, you know, for growing up here and seeing how lovely everyone is. I mean, it's just completely different than my life on the West Coast, and as you would imagine, and it's so real and it's profound, and it's. You know, it just it fills me with joy to be here these days, you know?
So why'd you put
just grateful.
So he texted, and by the way, your poochie dog's here, your service dog here.
Penny.
We can bring her in the shot.
She's
if you
the
want.
Best. She is a service dog, and God damn it, she's a good kid.
Can we bring her over in the shot?
Yeah, come here, sweet pea.
Come here,
my little sweeters.
All right, so there you go.
Pie.
So if you push her back a little bit, we can get her in the shot because I don't want to move the camera.
So
we have this beautiful, beautiful creature here who's
hanging
with
Mama. We took her to the vet today to make sure she was okay. What's interesting, she has a heart murmur. Okay, I had a heart murmur, and then I had to have heart surgery. But she's going to be okay.
That was kind of, your heart surgery was kind of famous, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was in the prime of, like, the Go-Go's, right?
Yeah, I was just looking through stuff, and I found the news footage from that, which is really kind of funny and weird. Very surreal, actually.
Okay, so I want to, literally, have your drink here, by the way.
Oh, okay.
We're at the Beaumont. Gina Shock's just kind of hanging out. She's trying to get off camera as much as she can. Come back. There you go. Come closer. Come closer. So we're at the bar at Beaumont. We were at Costas last year, and I want to recap this for everybody in 1 minute. I didn't know you from Boo. I always wanted to know you. I knew you where you were from. I still don't know what house your parents lived in. I just know in that cluster somewhere down by Black, across the Black. I don't really know where it is, right? to this day, I don't know where it is. And I would always wonder which house was yours. I would always think to myself, why doesn't she come back? And then George knew you, and I'm like, bucket list. I mean, Dundalk, and then you went to Hall of Fame, and then I started chasing your publicist around to have you on. And I woke up last year on an October day. I was doing the show at Drug City. It was the first time I'd ever done the show at
Drug City. It's so great.
And I woke up, and Donna Jean Rumbly had you on her timeline having breakfast over at the Bay, and I pooped a brick. I'm like,
I love it.
She's in Baltimore. Donna, I need to have her on the show. I'm doing a live show. It doesn't need to be today. Or like, John Waters has agreed to come on the show.
Oh, really?
No, this is serious. He agreed to come on the show, and I turned him down because it was Zoom. And I'm like, no, John, yeah. I want to do it with you in Baltimore.
You know, he's tough to get a hold of. I run into him at weird places. I'll be like, the last time I ran into him was in L.A., and I was at this kind of great deli place, and I was ordering something, and somebody in a voice next to me was like, I'll have the... And I was like, John? And he was like, Gene? I was like, Jesus Christ.
You knew him?
We were ordering sandwiches, yeah.
What's the first time you met John Waters?
Oh, a long time ago, because my connection, and actually this all, a lot of what's happened to me and the girls in the band was due to Edith Massey, who was in John's films.
Sure.
And I was in her band in 78. And that's how I...
Edie and the Eggs.
Yeah. That's how I got to L.A., San Francisco. I would go to New York anyway.
Edie opened doors for you.
I love her. Yeah. I mean, being with her, I was turning 21 and I decided... After flying to L.A. and San Francisco, I was like, okay, I need to make the decision. I need to get out of here. I don't know where I'm going to go yet, but I'm going to figure that out. So I just took time, and I went back to San Francisco, went back to L.A., spent a little time in New York, and then I decided L.A. is where I'm going to go. I think I could make it there because the cost of living was somewhat reasonable compared to everywhere else I was thinking of going. I mean, I had to go to...
This is in 78, 79, 80?
78, 79, yeah.
All right.
And so I went back to L.A., but it was Edie that got me there initially, playing in her band.
And she and John were like this, right?
Well, I mean, Edie had her shop down in Fells Point on Broadway, Edith's shopping bag. And when I was 19, I moved out of the house, and I moved at 15 North Broadway, right up the street. So I would go down there and see her all the time. And she'd just be sitting at the front of her store at the cash register with her cat, Lovey, and Jean, her little servant. And that was, oh, hi, Jean. She was wonderful. And I would talk to her all the time because I loved her.
What kind of music was Edie and the Eggs?
Punk.
Just straight punk.
Yeah, just like,
What did you listen to? I mean, what's a gateway in Dundalk in 1975
I listen
for you
to everything.
Find that music?
I listened to everything.
Where did you find
it? I still do. I went to the record stores. Every week, I would stop in a record store and get whatever was new, whatever's happened. I was there. I'd spend all my allowance on records and concert tickets and magazines, Cream, Rolling Stone, whatever, you know. I mean, it was all about music. That's all I cared about. So all my money, my allowance money, was spent on instruments until I finally settled on drums. And then tickets and music. I don't know what the name of that record store was, but it was down where Two Guys used to be on Merritt Boulevard.
Well, which is a now, record and tape trader.
Which is now Aldi's or something right there. And that little, there was a record store that I would go to all the time there to buy all my music, and I would get anything that was new, and I especially was enamored with the Brits. I loved English music, and
so Sex Pistols, Clash.
Yeah. But before that, even that, I mean, I was always that spoke to me. That I was drawn to that, like, you know, from Zeppelin, anything that was from the UK, I was like, I love it, and yeah, so I would get any new releases, and I started getting, like, you know, the Buzzcocks, the Sex Pistols, whatever were out was new, whatever was new and out from the UK, I was going to get it. So I knew what was going on. I was already happening. I knew it was, and plus I played in that band with George, and we were like Baltimore's first new wave punk band, Scratch and Sniff, and you know we knew what was going on musically. We're very in tune. And when you're that age.
But there's no internet there. There's no radio.
Doesn't matter, man.
There was an underground thing for it, right?
You do what you need to do to get the music that you're in love with. You will go to any length to get a hold of it.
Even if it's a Brian Adams show in San Francisco.
Yeah, well, yeah. Okay, so Brian Adams, okay. I got to say, We're going to fast forward about a million
does
years.
Does this have anything to do with Joan Jett or no?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So Gina Shock is our guest. She's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame as a member of the Go-Go's. She's a drummer. She hits the skins. Joan has been on the show. This is why it's so freaky with you, right?
Love
I was
her.
The music critic at The Sun from 86 to 92. I interviewed Bowie, Plant, Page, like all
wow,
of these people,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
like
yeah.
Paul Rogers. I did all of this cool stuff. But you were, like, never around here. And I know I've told you that a bunch of times. Now you say you were sort of running from here to some degree in your own mind.
I didn't, you know, I didn't want to. I was so happy to get out because it was only a dream to get out of this town. You know, and I wanted to go to L.A. and I wanted to be
a
rock star.
Yeah, right.
And it happened, and I was fully, you know, in love with the whole scene and fully enmeshed in it. But I always came back home here. Every year I was in town, I never missed a Christmas. Every single year I spent Christmas with my family from 1978 when I moved out to L.A. in 79. I always came home, and I did to this day till my parents passed. Always came back. And then I'd come back, you know, when I was on tour, when I got done, I'd come back and spend a month. I was lucky. I got to spend more time with my parents than most folks would that have a job.
Right on.
Because, yeah. So I was lucky in that way to be able to see my folks as much.
Well,
anyway, how do we get off the thing with Brian Adams? Wait a minute
okay,
now.
All right, go ahead.
Okay.
We're all over the place.
Okay, so.
Oh, no, I'm never
going to
learn about the house
you know,
shock.
We're going to get into that. But, okay, so the deal is my partner Wendell and I and Penny, our child, we were in Niagara Falls doing a Comic-Con and doing book signings and all that sort of stuff, which I have a book made in Hollywood. You know how fabulous that is. And my buddy Joan Jett was playing.
Now, when did you meet Joan? Runaways, before I Love Rock and Roll, all that, right?
Excuse me. We met in 79. The beginning of 79.
But she's got such an Oriole connection. And
I know.
The Palmer
she's
thing and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, crazy
you know?
About that stuff. When I saw her a couple months ago, she was like, how about those O's? That's the first thing I remember. I'm like, oh, Christ.
Dude, I would poop myself to go to a baseball game with you and Joan Jett.
You
and Joan Jett at Camden Yards. I'm buying.
We should do
Dude,
that.
Dude, that'd be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're going to make the playoffs. You should invite her in for the first playoff
She'll
game.
She'll go, and I'll come. Her and Kenny, and we'll go. So anyway, I thought, okay, we're going to go see her. So she's like, I'm opening for Brian Adams. And I was like, cool, whatever. I want to see Joan. I don't care who she's playing with, you know? So we had great seats, went back and talked to Joan, hang out for a while. And she played, and Wendell actually said to me, is she singing a track? I mean, is this, or is that her real voice? I was like, Wendell, that's her voice, and that band is playing live. Like, he couldn't believe how great, she sounds better than ever.
I saw them here.
I said to her, Joan, what the fuck? What is going on, man? You sound better than you have. And she said, I guess, Gina, just from playing so much, my voice is just, like, right where it needs to be. And I'm telling you, she sounds great, playing great. The band's great. They're all wonderful. Anyway, we hang out, and Beef might be her tour manager, stage manager, a guy named Beef. And he's like, he came back and he said, Gina, Brian would love to meet you. And I was like, sure, I'll go meet him. And I went back, and he was just the nicest guy. I really, really like him. He was just a lovely fellow. And I then found out.
I love Brian. It's my ultimate man crush.
Well, listen, let me finish. Then I found out that he was also a photographer. Right. So then it was like, well, I found that out after I met him. I was like, fuck, I got to meet him again. We got to talk.
That's
you know?
His passion, the art.
I know.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I got it. Well, we're going to go see him. Hopefully, we're going to see him in 2 weeks. Anyway, so we're hanging out. He's lovely. I'm crazy about the guy. So I go out and I thought, I'm going to really listen to what his music, because I've never really cared about him. I swear to Christ, we were both almost.
It's a rock show.
Listen, we
That's
were
an arena rock
We were
show.
Almost in tears because every song, you knew every song.
Oh,
and everybody in that audience was singing every song.
And Tina Turner just died, and he's doing It's Only Love.
I know. It was like, it blew my mind. The guy is. He's iconic, he's legendary, and I now am crazy about Brian Adams.
My wife and I saw him 15 times when he just brought the guitar out and did the acoustic thing.
Mm-hmm.
He did that, he did it down in D.C. at a synagogue, at the I Street Synagogue couldn't have been more than 400 seats.
Yeah.
And he sings like an angel, he plays like
an angel. Yeah.
For my wife's, on our wedding night, I sang a Brian Adams song.
Well, you know what, his voice, I get
our
it
Our 20th
because
anniversary is Tuesday, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah.
Almost
so
happy
20th anniversary of me singing I'll Always Be Right There For You.
Well, yeah. I'll tell you what. he knocked me out, and everybody, like I said, that whole arena was singing. It was like he didn't even have to sing; the whole place was going on.
He
did cry, but yeah, I mean, when we got all teared up, and people, I mean, it was a beautiful thing, and it was like me meeting and seeing Springsteen for the first time. I didn't give a shit about him. I saw him play, and I just was knocked out. And I was like, "Let's go
back."
Because
it's what you do.
Yeah,
it's
no,
your honor.
I want to meet this guy, but no, there was, you know, I realized live. Well, now I get it. Sometimes you got to see somebody live to really get them. You know,
feel it, experience.
Yes,
it. Yeah.
Yes. And
I did that with Seal back in May and June. I started chasing Seal around.
Somebody just saw Seal and said he was incredible.
Seal was the best thing I've seen in 20 years.
Hey, he's got an angelic voice.
Unbelievable. He was so good. I chased him around. I was thinking of going over to Europe to see him play. But that's where music is with me. So you think of me as like sports, and I have my cult stuff here, and you were telling
me. I always
Don,
do think of you as sports,
stuff.
But you know, yeah, there's.
Right, but the music part at this point in my life, music's been better. To me, the sports has been to me. You sitting here right now. I call football players. Lamar's not sitting here right now. You're sitting here right now.
I am.
And the music still moves me. Since I have this sort of weird friendship with you, you show up on my YouTube from time to time. So, like, you and the girl sitting on a couch doing some Entertainment Weekly thing 10 years ago when you had some reunion thing
yeah.
or whatever. Or when you're give me where you guys are right now, because I really did want to learn House of Shock, and I want to learn how I sent you Ed Lauer's number, and I literally sent you John Allen's number.
All right,
and I don't know what happened.
Okay,
after that.
So now you're gonna hear. Here's what's going on. The Go-Go's are just coasting right now.
Hiatus.
Yeah, I don't know where it's gonna go. I don't think any of us do, because you know what? This band. I mean, we've been together over 40 years, and I can't tell you how many times every one of us have just sort of said. Could I quit? I'm done with this.
Right.
I'm sick of that. You know, we're like, we are family, and there's constantly fighting, and then there's constantly love. There's, you know, it goes up and down. It's like a family. We love each other. We hate each other. It's all very intense.
Right.
The emotions and the feelings are intense.
Is it more intense 40 years later or less?
A little
There's not
less.
As much drugs and alcohol.
Yeah, because that's not in the picture, so it's not insane, you know? It's just...
It's time and money and emotion.
Yeah. So, you know, hopefully we'll get back and do some shows. I always want to work. I love the band. I will do anything with the Go-Go's because...
So when they call and say, do you want to do it, you're always in it.
I always want to go. I always want to do it because I love playing and I love that band. And because of them, I've had this incredible life and I'm still having it. And it's due to the Go-Go's. So
yeah,
I always...
It really is.
I don't ever... That never goes out of my brain. Never goes out of my mind.
That's home base.
Yeah, so...
Well, Belinda's out touring.
I know. She is. Anyway, we haven't been doing things, so I was out promoting my book and, you know, doing some of these Comic-Cons because I'd never done them before, and Jane was like, you should do them because Jane's done them, and she said it's kind of fun or whatever. Anyway, I've had a good time doing that, and we'll see how it goes.
I like Jane. I don't know Jane, but I like Jane.
Jane's great. She's kind of nuts, but you got to love her. Anyway, I guess everybody can say that. We can say that about each of us.
All five
of
you say that about you. Right. Yeah, probably.
So I I've been feeling like I need to do something musically. And Wendell's been really big pushing me to doing it because he's listened to all the stuff that I've written, and he's like my biggest fan. He goes crazy. He's like, Gina, you have so much great material. Really, you need to get this out there. I have hundreds and hundreds of songs that I've written over the years, and they're good. You know, if you can sit down with an acoustic guitar and play it, then you know it's good. Well, I could do that with probably at least 50% of what I have. That's high. That's a good percentage rate. So I just thought, you know what? I want to maybe put a band together. House of Shock. Of course I'll call it House of Shock. Right. And being as I've been in my parents, my dad, mom and dad, House of Shock, on 45th Street with, you know, it was like, yes, of course. The night that we met, I met John and Ed, and Wendell really spearheaded the whole thing because he talks to everyone, and then he just gives me a report.
I got was a text saying, Gina wants to do some songs and needs a guitar player. She's going to sing some songs, maybe beat on the drums and need a guitar player. And I'm
That's
like,
Wendell.
And I'm
right.
like, no, like, Ed. Like. I'm like, Ed.
He does things. See, he does this to me all the time. He'll set me up with things, and I'm like, what
Should
are
I
you
put a
doing?
Headset on him and have him be part
you
of
You might as well.
Yeah, here. Come on, Wendell. Get down here. And we're going to take a break. It's some point because I want to have fun and like continue this conversation.
Well, I would like to get another
Wendell
one of these.
Is, we got to get another one. Is that gin?
Oh yes. What's the general? What's the bartender thing? Could I have another thing, baby?
Do you have some headset now? You hear?
Yeah, he's here.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, what's up?
All right, man. I got to get your volume in.
Baby, come on up, Angel.
So
we're a happy family.
3 days before I go through my text. 3 days before Christmas, you hit me and say, Gina needs a guitar player to do a couple of songs, maybe 3 songs at her book signings, maybe a little song and dance. And I thought, well, that'd be nice. I've never really heard Gina sing, and I know she's a songwriter. And I said, well, Ed Lauer would be happy to learn 3 songs.
What an angel.
And, you know, do Our Lips Are Sealed or We Got the Beat or whatever.
Right.
And so pick up the story and tell her the truth now that you're with me. Don't lie to her.
That's oh, my God. Sucker.
All right, Nestor.
I'm going to kill him.
Okay, truth be told.
Kill him.
I lied. She had no idea. We were doing a book signing for the Hard Rock, and Donna Jean Rumbly said, Wendell, we're going to do the book signing. I'm like, great, Donna Jean. I go down to check out the place like I should do, and I look at it. I said, they have a little stage here. I said, hey, you have an actual drum set there. Why not we have Gina do a couple songs? They said, great. I signed a contract. I thought, holy crap.
This looks like a Go-Go's video here to me right now. It really does. That's all right.
She got to look great. You know.
She looks great already.
So she always looks fabulous. So then I thought, well, who do I know that knows everybody in Baltimore? Nestor. I mean, Nestor, the guy that I saw the message on social media that said, I've been trying to reach Gina for 3 or 4 years trying to get an interview. And I said, well, how about today? Again, Gina didn't know. We were going to another function. I said, Gina, we got to make a quick stop at Drug City. For what? I said, Nestor is
a great
guy. To meet
the next drummer in your band.
I said, Nestor's a great guy. He's been trying to get you. He's from Baltimore. He's been on the radio forever.
I'm not from Baltimore.
And so, from Dundalk. Dundalk. So, Dundalk.
Say it the right way.
Right, Dundalk.
We'll be at Costas next week. On the 3rd. And Drug City
So I call you up and say, hey, how about today at like 3 o'clock or something? You're like, are you f***ing, or what?
Yeah,
can I curse?
Yeah, well, you just did. It's okay.
You said, are you freaking serious? I'm like, yeah. And so I said, Gina, she said, I don't know that place. What is it? Fix me up, babe.
Yeah.
There you go. There, thank you.
ADD. Yeah, that's all right.
Look, something shiny.
Yeah, there you go.
So she said, I don't know what this is. Now, we went there, mind you, and she had such a fabulous time. She fought me the whole way there. I am not.
And then she got the milkshake, and it was over.
Well, no. Honestly, it was you and John. You guys were fabulous. She said, and then I'm looking at you guys and going like, we got her next.
Yeah, because you had a book signing. Snuck us in.
What was that?
At the Hard Rock.
The bird knows.
No, downtown.
And so I'm like, we got to go. And she's like, but I'm having a good time. I don't want to go. I'm like, so I said, Nessa, this is great, but we got to go. So
we'll
you got to show her.
So then
when I visited the Hard Rock, I was like, I called you up. I texted you. I said, Nessa, do you know anybody? And you said, Ed Lauer.
Oh, thanks, babe.
So I'm like, okay. So I get a hold of Ed, and then one thing led to another. And we have John Allen, Ed Lauer, Steve Ports, and
Jay Swanson. And you got your gal from Jersey, right?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Astor.
Oh, that's our social media gal. Astor's fabulous. She opened
She's
up one
great.
Year for Beth Hart.
She's great.
She played with the 6th keyboard player
from the Allman Brothers.
From Allman Brothers.
Yeah.
Haynes?
No, he was.
Dickie Betts, no.
No, afterwards. Shoot.
We'll get back to
anyway,
that.
Anyway, get back
Let's
to you on that.
Keep going.
Anyway, so I then tell Gina, hey, babe, the book signing says, yeah. She said, you're going to play a couple songs. She said, I don't have a band here. I said, you kind of do. I said, they're from Baltimore. I said,
oh my
Nestor
God.
Helped put
I'm
it together. He gave me the name. She said, that's
kill
what she said. I'm going to kill you. What are you doing? I said, it's like 4 songs. Well, 4 songs led to 11 or 12 when they met down the street at Bill's
Music.
The guys were
texting me for Bill's, and they're like, she's putting together, like, she's taking this really seriously. This is not just, like, kicking around.
A
and when they got in with you, they saw why. I mean, literally, they all reached to me individually and said, now I know why she's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. She's a freaking worker.
Yes,
I mean,
she's
like,
a professionist.
You're a worker.
She's
they
a
all
perfectionist.
That out. And
it
I put
always
you in
be
workers,
better.
And all of them were workers, too.
Yeah.
And I guess that's why you hit it off. Because all of you had some energy. All of you had some rock star energy that night at the Hard Rock. We're like, it mattered, and it was on. And my wife, how about that? By the way, shout out to my wife, our 20th anniversary this week. She has known John Allen all of our marriage because John and I are friends, right?
Yeah.
She has seen John shake his ass as a singer, Stone Horses, Charm City Devil. A couple times she's seen him do that part. She has never seen him play the drums. He's played the drums a handful of times in the last 10 years. He played with a Child's Play reunion when Sarah Fleischer retired. from 98 Rock, and they brought in Tom Kiefer. Kix and Child's Play put a band together and did like a couple of songs, and he played drums. And then he played drums the night that Child's Play reunited last summer in August, because he was having a little foot problem, and he played that night, and she wasn't there. So she had never seen him play drums in 20 years of our marriage. And that night at the Hard Rock, he got back and got rolling on the drums.
He's badass.
And
she's badass.
Like, whoa! John can play the drums like that. Yeah. Like, I've been telling you that for 20 years.
Yeah.
You know? But you didn't even know that about him. When you sat with us at Drug City, he's just a cute guy in the band, right?
Yep.
Johnny Resnick guy, right?
Yeah. Well, Keith Urban guy.
Keith Urban guy.
Yeah, I mean,
Urban.
Yeah, but I
so
just, he was so, he was just a lovely guy.
He's the best guy I know.
Yeah, so he's
one
a
of
sweetheart.
My favorite people
and
I know.
So,
yeah.
You're kind of, you're drawn to people that are like-minded, number one.
Well, I've known him since 79.
Also a sweetheart, so there you go. Yeah, there you go.
And he grew up closer to you than I did. He's one more neighborhood closer over
Eastwood,
so
right?
You guys get here to Bill's, Eastwood? And you're going to put this Hard Rock thing together, and it's going to be like a one-off thing. You've now got, like, promo pictures. You played up at Asbury. I mean, you're booking some gigs.
So I did tell about. Sorry, babe, I didn't tell about Asbury either. So that gig went so well, and I saw when they practiced, and I saw them at Bill's. There was magic happening. They were vibing. It was such a great. She was smiling. I'm like, I loved. I mean, Gina can be stressed to high heaven, and when she gets behind that kit and gets with the right people, all stress is gone. And I said, babe, your face changes. She can sit there for hours playing. Just she's in another world. That makes me happy because she's so happy being behind that kit, being in that creative zone. And it's just, that's what it's about. It's not about the money. I mean, yeah, it's great. The go-go money is fabulous. But that was great looking at her in that zone.
And that's not why I ever started. That's not why.
Well, when the go-go's are on
high end,
you can't do it without them. Right? I mean, that's part of being in a band.
Right.
I had Tommy Conwell on. I'm driving down to Dewey Beach this weekend to see Tommy Conwell and the Young Rumblers, Philadelphia band, late 80s, one of my favorite bands.
Yeah.
They only reunite once a year.
Yes.
And they're getting a little older now. And he's like, I want to do two or three times a year because I'm in their 60s. And like, how many more times are we going to do this? And it brings us all such joy. It brings the audience such joy.
You can do it as much as you want. It's all about your. It's all about here. What, do you want to do it? Look at the Stones. Look at Springsteen. People, you can do whatever you want.
Right.
You know, you really can.
But you can't without the other four members
of
your
band. Well, I can't do the Go-Go's, that's
right,
for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So when they're not there, it leaves you with idle time. And I would say for you, you need to work.
I need to work. I mean, the book took me a year and a half to do. I keep bringing it up, but I'm so incredibly proud of it because it was something I didn't know that I could accomplish. It was something I wanted to do for decades. And it just was overwhelming, the prospect of getting it done. But I got that done. And I thought, here's another thing I can add to the list that I never thought I could do. And I can get down
to this day. We cannot even keep up with the demand for the book signings. I mean, Boston, Nashville, there's so Memphis, there's so
we
many
gotta,
places.
Yeah, we got to get
Seattle.
Together,
they're like Portland. They're begging us, please come.
I want to take a break and have you get your cocktail. We're at the Beaumont. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Our friends at the Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, Raskin Global. We're doing our 25th anniversary on August 3rd. And I invited Jean out. She's going to be on the West Coast, so she couldn't do the actual 25th. We're going to be there on the 3rd. We're going to be at Drug City on the 4th. 10 hours. I'm giving away everything at the. I went through the radio station. Get Nasty hats, Free the Bird shirts, old Nasty newsletters, old pictures, old stuff. So there's all sorts of stuff. We have. You can sit on my face if you want. I had a sea cushion.
Lovely.
Sea cushion with my face. WNS sea cushion.
Yes.
So you can.
Pretty.
There's only one left, so get it early. Costas, 11 o'clock on the 3rd, then the 4th. We're at the Beaumont. I want to come back and I want to talk, pick up House of Shock. I want to pick up music. I want to talk some go-go's.
Forever. Ever and ever. That could go on. We could be here for like 3 months.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in two and two, like they said. Back more from the Beaumont, WNST, AM 1570. Stay with us.